Let's talk a little bit more about this current report. What does the rest of this year look like?
Oh, boy.
So you mean where the draft comes back, or you mean where we run out of food, or where we have the revolution, rebellion? Or, which, yeah.
Or
which
all
part?
Of the above.
Well,
all of the above, right?
There's some good areas in the sense that we don't really see any potential for an exchange, a warfare exchange in a real serious way between Israel and Iran, at least up until November 8th or so. So we can all sort of breathe a sigh of relief there. Whatever wars we've got going on there are the only ones we're going to have to deal with at the moment.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Not quite. There's a chance that it could occur around as part of the July 8th we have.
I still maintain that we would see a larger level of release than what we're seeing.
Yeah, agreed. But it's a sawtooth, and so what, you know,
it's possible, yes. Let's say a very low order probability.
Yeah, low order
July
probability. But if that's the case, then November turns into global thermonuclear end of the game,
or something that the powers that be would certainly engineer towards that. I would agree.
Yeah,
because we have a curious situation here. When George, you and I first got together in 2001, it was because of a tipping point. And right at the moment, we stand relative to another tipping point coming in November that we see last 4 days. The tipping point will begin in the morning of the 8th and continue all the way through until the evening of the 11th relative to our data. And then we slip into a 2 or 3 month period of release. Now, the 9/11 attacks was a... basically, it was a few hours of the intense tipping point data collation, and then we slipped into a week-long release period. So the effects of what we're looking at is considerable and much larger than what we had seen for 9/11. Under the circumstances, of course, that instantly makes your mind think nuclear war, et cetera. But it appears to be U.S.-centric. And then at this point, as near as we can tell, it spreads out around the planet from a U.S. kind of spark or initiation. Might be a false flag attack or something along those lines.
What about the November elections?
November 2nd.
Okay. Yeah, and those would be it would work if the elections were called or canceled after the effect. We're talking a big tipping point, something that, again, alters life as we know it. As screwy as it sounds, as weird as life is and is going to be in the early November, it will be very much different after November 11th.
But you have no idea what it could be? I mean, could it be an asteroid that smashes into the planet?
I doubt that kind of thing, because we're going to have release language that's going to be of a continuing intensity in terms of how fast it sheds emotional tension. So... And this is my monkey mind, and this is where we start getting into the area of potential errors, so I'll let you know that right off. If we were going to see something like an asteroid, I presume we would see a mega-release drop. And while we have a large release drop after the tipping point, it's not as severe as I would presuppose that something like a city-killer asteroid would cause. Does that make sense?
If, let's say, a group of astronomers... chat amongst each other about the possibility that an asteroid that they have found that we don't know about is coming our way and could hit within the next few months. Would you be able to pick that up?
Yes. If it was in a position to where the language itself had in some way leaked out into a public forum or a forum that allowed registration. We sweep lots of things. So if they're out there chatting about it, we don't do emails. Occasionally, we might catch an email, for instance, if it was quoted in a forum.
It depends on
where they're chatting about it. However, would we pick it up in terms of a psychic impression coming? I just don't know. There's so much we don't know about this work, I just couldn't say.
The other problem that comes along with the November tipping point is in the case of 9/11, we had tipping point, we had the week the skies were shut down, and then sort of life got back to usual. The problem we've got, we could talk about it now, I guess, is something that Cliff has labeled the gap, which frankly has us both, I won't say freaked out, but scared, worried, concerned, and planning.
Is this the data gap you're talking about?
Correct.
Okay, what is this?
Well, let's first say that we considered our emotions. emotional data, which drives the temporal impact of the data, in three very distinct categories. What we call immediacy data, which has an effectiveness from the minute we see the data in the model space out to about 3 days at its peak and then trailing off to about 3 weeks. And then we have short-term data, which picks up at the end of the third week and goes out to about the end of the fourth month, maybe a little bit longer. And then we have the long-term data, which is from the fourth month onward. And there's various levels of granularity. We get a lot more data points for the immediacy, slightly less for short-term, slightly less for long-term, trailing off. And the long-term data is split into three sections itself. In about 2003, I think it was, started noticing that there was a hole, if you will, in our model space relative to a period of time from early 2012 until about May of 2013. Didn't concern me because at that point I was much more focused on the immediate kind of things. But as we've moved forward in time towards 2012, the hole in the data has not extended away from us. In other words, in 2003, the hole in the data was 9 years out. Well, as here it is in 2010, and the hole in the data is 2 years out. So it's been moving upward through our data types as we've been moving those data types forward in time.
I see.
And we don't really understand why that data gap occurs. There could be any number of explanations for it, but it is worrisome.
Can you ascertain if there's a shadow government out there somewhere?
Oh, certainly, certainly. That is, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I can give you an exact linguistic example of how I know this. There were certain government contracts that were posted a few years back, made available in a Freedom of Information Act thing, and they just kind of had them posted out on the Internet and swept them, and I used them in relative to the sweeping the site for the Council on Foreign Relations in order to get a base linguistic set for what I call the powers that be. And just recently I've encountered a very curious thing that I didn't notice initially, that in 1956 the language made a very distinct change from, let me see if I can put this right way, exploration of what you and I would think of as the hidden kind of technology involved in UFOs and so forth.
Right.
And after 1956, the language in the federally released contract documents changed to exploitation. So they had their success in 1956. From that point on, they've been able to engineer and do stuff on their own, and they've been exploiting the technology, and it just got larger and larger and larger. And then, of course, I started recently reading Richard Dolan's books, and that really confirms it.